Amen. You say I'm loved when I don't feel a thing. I believe what you say of me. I believe it, Lord. I believe it. Above all things, I believe it. It's good for us to remind ourselves that we believe it. I just saw a testimony. Lauren Daigle was talking about her grandfather died just before she hit it big, kind of, sort of, to speak. She had left college. She'd gone to Nashville. Her grandfather was her biggest fan, and things were coming together, and songs were being written, and then her grandfather got cancer, and she shut it down to go be with him, to spend time with him. And then after she spent time with him, then the first song hit, you know, and she said she was talking to God about, you know. She said, I wasn't mad at God, but I just wondered why Grandpa couldn't have lived just a little longer to see everything that he had wanted so much. But she talked about her grandfather's death and about how he was there saying, I can see Jesus, I can see Jesus. And he was saying, he was just talking to him about loving Jesus and all that kind of stuff. And she said she saw such a beautiful picture of death there. She said, I'm not afraid of it. I'm ready. I'm ready right now. It's going to be so much greater. I'm ready right now. And I thought, you know, that's a great testimony, because the gates of heaven have opened up to her. And yet she said, this is nothing. And that's what we know, that this is good. I love it here. I do. But I ain't worried about leaving. Last week, as you know, I apologize. I took off on Wednesday, but I just went for a ride. I was going to go somewhere, and I decided I'd go out. Rachel had some projects that she needed to do in Murray's house, where she lives now, and I knew that needed to be fixed, and I just wanted to go for a ride. So that's a nice little ride. Rode out there, caulked a bathtub, you know. But before I left, she said, there was a lot of conversations, but she said, well, you be careful now, Daddy. And I thought, she thinks I'm getting old. You know, and I hadn't thought about that. So then when I got ready to leave to come back, she said, now be careful, there's a lot of traffic, Daddy. I said, honey, look at it this way. If something happens, your mom will have more money, and I'll be happy as can be. So don't worry about it. She said, well, I never thought about it that way. Yeah. I don't look for accidents or anything like that, but I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Casting our cares upon Jesus. You know? That's what's important. The presence of God, as Vicki talked, the presence of God, the presence of God, the presence of God, the presence of God, and knowing the presence of God. You see, Judy, you experienced the presence of God, but you didn't know what you were experiencing. And you were caught between two places. Is this good or is this bad? You know, how can it feel this way? But the presence of God is wonderful. And I'll just give you a prison report. Friday night, I was at the women's prison, and wow, it was a nice big group. And yes, there were girls sitting together, because that's all there are, is girls in the prison, you know. And I just let the Lord look at what was going on, and I just told him, I said, listen, I got this thing in my head that the Lord is really, just really going to be present. I'm praying that you feel His presence, because in His presence changes things. It changes things that your head won't change. You know, His presence does things. And as I began to lead worship and we talked about His presence, and there was a gal, I later found out that she was getting out the next day, but she was sitting by a girl that was very fond of her, and that was awesome. And you know, I mean, it's hard to tell without knowing their hearts if they're just friends or if they're beyond friends, you know. But I thought that perhaps these two maybe were not in a great position, perhaps. But the one little gal that was getting out, she was a worship fiend, you know. I mean, she was just just worshiping God and worshiping God. We kept talking about the presence, and at one point as we were singing and as we were worshiping, and this other girl reached over and took her hand, she sort of took her hand, and then she went like this. It was like the presence of God had shaken off that thing, whatever it was, you know? And this is what God will do for us, His presence. But, you know, it's like if we don't want His presence, then He's not going to force us with His presence. If we would rather have things, you know, how we're comfortable with, He'll leave us comfortable. But it won't be the way. I'm just reading a book. I don't remember the name. And there's a guy, and this guy is talking about, you know, he came to the Lord and all of that. And oddly enough, he had sort of an aversion to Benny Hinn. There's been a lot of people have an aversion to Benny Hinn. You can like Benny Hinn and have aversion moments, you know, because sometimes it's just too crazy, you know. But I decided a long time ago that I would rather be too crazy than not crazy enough. Anyway, this guy was talking about this, and so it turns out that he ends up at a Benny Hinn meeting, and the place was so packed you couldn't get around, and then he really wanted, he said, I didn't really like the guy, but I wanted a word from the guy. How do you suppose that those two emotions were going on? Well, the Lord had a plan, you know? And he called people up, but he couldn't get up. And then all of a sudden, Benny Hinn said, you come up. I've got a word for you. And it was kind of like the thing where the blind man's yelling and screaming. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, come up here. And now everybody, well, they just opened a path. And he got up there. And he said, I went up there. And Benny Hinn waved at me. And it was like a big wind hit me. And down I went. And I didn't really believe in this stuff. And he got up, and down he went again. And then Benny had just a short word for him. And that took care of that. And of course, that he had a lot of digesting to do. And the Lord, there's a lot of digesting with the Lord. There really is. And we have the desire to digest it. Not just spit it out. You know, when they're teaching babies to eat, you know, of course, my kids have read all the books, so now they're doing this thing, and this is the schedule, and this is the schedule, and this is the schedule. For goodness sake, she's not even a year old yet, you know, and she's in school. I mean, that's what their daycare is. It puts out reports. You get a little thing that says, ate this many ounces, bathroom wet, bathroom wet, bathroom BM. Okay, hallelujah, you know, this is great mail. It's like, geez, poor kid. I hope they save those report cards and see what she thinks of them later. You know? Let me ask you a question. What would our report cards look like if God had all the report cards for us to look at? What did we spit out? What have you spit out? I don't know where this is going, but what have we spit out? What have we not even tasted? Locked our lips. Locked our jaws. You know, when the dogs don't want medicine, I can get the medicine into them. But even a vet won't do that with a cat. You don't stick your fingers inside a cat's mouth. You know, I mean, not to give them something they don't want. My cousin came to give worm medicine to our cat, and I'd never really seen it given that way. We usually did the liquid. If you got the little squirt tube, it's okay, but he had a capsule. He had a hemostat. Pulled open the mouth and shoved it in there. Didn't get it in the first time, but his finger was okay. The second time it got in. I said, yeah, you know, that's so true. You don't just do that. And do you suppose that if we lock our jaws hard enough that God doesn't force us? And if he offers something to us and we spit it out, thank God he doesn't forget us. He'll give us another opportunity. And then how many opportunities have we missed, or how many opportunities have we rejected? Well, here's the deal. Anytime you want it, God's promises are yes and amen. Anytime I want it. There's a difference between wanting it and, okay, I'll tolerate it. It's wanting it. God wants us to want. I want you to want me. I need you to need me. I love you to love me. You didn't know that was a worship song, but of course they all are in one way or another. But he wants us to want him. More than we want anything else, I want him. And so every day, all day long, we have places where we choose God or we choose something else. Now, there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, just, it's just kind of peripheral type stuff. It's not a big deal, but there are things where we choose God's way or we choose our own way. And what if we did have that opportunity to have our throat slit or shot or whatever, or deny Christ? That's not really a great place to decide that I want God more than anything. I mean, it might be the very thing that pushes us over the edge, but it might not be too. I don't want to risk that. I want God more than anything. Like that young gal and many others, things changed in that place. The atmosphere changed. But had to come to the place of, I want God more than I want to hold your hand. I want God more because his presence does more. I want God more than I want my own way. I want God more. I want God more. I want God more. And I want God more because more of God will get me past everything. And the enemy will try to get us to look at other things. Wayne, I've got to ask you. Other than making mowing a real problem, what are all those white flags in your yard? Must be something to do with Cheryl, maybe.
The dog.
Is that an electric fence? Okay. All right. Well, then in that case, I looked at that and I thought, man alive, I got to pray for Wayne mowing around all those little flags. You know, that is like the impossible dream. That's going to cause you to sin about 500 times when you're mowing, but not if it's your project. That's great. You know? Well, you see, sometimes all the things with God, it seems like there's a bunch of things in our way. But they aren't in our way. They aren't in our way at all. They just aren't. They're just markers. And if we turn them into markers of victories, you know. Everything I have now, I'm taking. And I'm laying at your feet. I heard one of the performances of Lauren Daigle in that song. It isn't, I'm laying it at your feet. It was, I'm laying at your feet. Oh, what a place it is when we lay at the Lord's feet. When we just lay, not a thing at a time, we just lay ourselves at his feet. Whether it's physically laying or it's just in our hearts and our minds, we lay down. I'm taking my sorrow. I'm taking my shame. I'm trading it all. I'm trading it all to the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us, that's a hoot, man. That's a yeah. It might start out as a, think about it. Yeah, it sounds okay. when I was talking about the Word of God and the presence of God working in people's lives, you know, there's probably 50 or 60 girls there, you know. And I said, you know, why don't you say, I'll be the one it works for? You know, we're talking about, I'll be the one, because that's where that message came from. I think it was for the prison. I'll be the one. And about three said, I'll be the one. You know, and of course, I said, your enthusiasm is just about to knock me down. You know? So, what you're saying is you would like to be the one, but you have doubts about being the one. And so we worked on that, of moving it into a declaration rather than an apprehension of, I wish it would work, I hope it would work, I doubt it would work. You know, we got all those kind of things. Hey, we've been at this for a lot of years. We've been at this for a lot of years. Our enthusiasm level should be somewhere up there. But we run into things on a regular basis where we don't have any enthusiasm at all. We're busy. We got stuff going on. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. You know? Well, he's higher than your highest mountain. He can handle it. If we believe he can handle it, shouldn't we be enthusiastic about he can handle it? I mean, why not? I had some stuff, I don't remember what we were doing, but I had some stuff that I was trying to cut, and I've told you this story before, but, you know, I was trying to cut it, and my saw was really not a saw, and I called to see if John had a minute, and he said yes, and I was shouting all the way, I was going, because I knew this is going to be done good. I knew how he was going to do it, but it wasn't like he said, I don't know if we can do that. It was like, yeah, we can do that. He got the tools. I'll be honest with you, you know, I didn't expect the tool that we used when we were doing those things, but John had a jig already set up to fix the very thing that I needed to fix, and wow, you know, I mean, it wouldn't have been any better if he had one of those saws you could punch into the computer and it'd do it. I think they got those now. It's just crazy, you know. You have to be a computer operator to make a lot of things now. Stevenson's down there, if they do a design on something, they just type it into the computer and it does it. If you don't like the way you look in a picture, Vicky will type something into the computer and it'll do it. You know, if I want to be Chinese for a day, she can make me Chinese for a day. Just fix those eyes, drag in a pair of little work. I could be brown eyes. She could just drag in some brown eyes, you know. That's scary. But God's greater than that. He can transform us by the renewing of our minds. You know? That's what I want. That's what I want. You know? So I can take what God says and believe it, or I can slow down the process and say, well, the books say this. You know, when I was growing up, I don't believe my mom read a book. And I'm certain my dad didn't read a book. He had a plan. He could redirect me pretty easily. I don't remember him once reasoning with me. He didn't think that it was necessary. He thought I was pretty smart and that I could learn quickly. Makes sense now, Dad. You know, he should have written a book. Somebody should have written a better book. God actually did write a better book. You know, hit your kid with a stick, he won't die. And the Amplified would say, don't try to kill him. I spanked my kids. I never tried to kill one of them. Anytime you want, and we know, because we know what the Bible says, we know that Jesus went about preaching repentance and forgiveness. Jesus went about preaching about the forgiveness of sins and the goodness of God. And when he sent out Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all of the others, including Paul, Paul, who instructed us all, they went out and they talked about, you need to repent. You need to repent. The Amplified said, so they went out and they preached that men should repent. That is, think differently, recognize sin, turn away from it, and live changed lives. See, that's what opens the floodgates of heaven. Now, we know these things, but I don't know them so well that I don't need to be reminded of them. Because that's what opened the door to every other one of the promises of God. I want the promises of God. And I'm willing to do anything, even though it's not of works, it's by grace through faith. Nobody can boast about what they're doing, but we still got to do things. Right? There is an obedience. It's just absolutely, that's just the way that it is. We're just gonna have to obey what God says. And nobody does it perfectly except Jesus. That's why John said, so if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness anytime you want it. Want it. Want to look at it a different way. Want to change it. Want it. Not just accept it. Oh, okay, I'm okay. No, it's a life change. It's a life change because with that life change then come the promises of God. You got peace anytime you want it. Peace is hard to come by if you haven't got the other part. And you can ask for a lot of things that you don't really even want. Any of you ever said I'm sorry to somebody when you weren't sorry yet? When if you were amplified, you'd say I'm sorry. Well, not really, but I'm trying. Whoa! But it seemed like the right thing to do. No? When you say I'm sorry, it implies that you want forgiveness, but if you aren't really sorry, you don't really care if they forgive you or not. If we don't have a handle on that, then our walk with God can become, you know, our walk with ourselves. Well, I said I was sorry. Did you change anything? Well, I wasn't ready yet. Okay. It's all right. Keep practicing. You'll get ready, I guess. Probably. You know, it's better to do it, to say I'm sorry. It's better to even... Don't get this wrong, okay? But it's better to not totally, completely into it repent than to just not bother to repent. Because somewhere the Holy Spirit is going to touch our heart and we're going to say, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. And all of a sudden we're going to say, I really am. Because you see, he's faithful when we're not, so we've got to have the confidence that he can do his part. So if we say it, then, you know, you say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. But I'm going to keep believing that you love me. Because even if it only gives me a moment's relief, enough moments can turn into... Hey, it don't matter. God loves me. I mean, he loves me. I know that he loves me. I hear him say, he loves me. I feel him show that he loves me. But you see, we aren't going to believe that if we're still holding on to things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Because there's always going to be, yes, we can say, I know God's faithful even when I'm not, but boy, I don't feel like he should. Well, that's true. He shouldn't, but he does. But when we confess our sins and he's faithful enough to forgive us our sins, and when we know I'm going to whip this, now I have done everything that I can do. I know our love is true. We know that. So then all of the promises become anytime you want it. I believe. I don't just believe in my head. I believe in my heart. I believe with my whole being. I really do believe what God says. See, we don't really have a lot that we have to overcome to necessarily believe that. But put yourself in a jail cell or in a prison cell. And put yourself in 25 or 30 or 40 or how many years of condemnation and accusation. And you are in a perfect spot, if you will, to be free. And all you got to do is jump over, could it be true, into it's got to be true. It's got to be true. See, so even though we don't have that kind of a wall, our lives, it's got to be true for us to live the life that we believe that we can live in Christ Jesus. It's got to be true. It's got to be true. And so it's true. And if it's true, then I can jump into that. I can believe. I don't have to go every time it says if you can believe all things are possible. I don't have to go through the gymnastics of, well, okay, what's all things mean? I mean, because all, that's a lot. But if we don't have to do those gymnastics, we just believe that all things are possible with God. We can become like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said to him, he said, look, our God will protect us. He will. And even if he doesn't get us out of this place, he'll still take care of us. We know he'll take care of us. Whether we burn or we don't even stink like smoke doesn't make one bit of difference. Just we know God. You know, that's pretty amazing. Because Jesus hadn't come yet. The indwelling Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. But they got a word from God. They heard God and they believed. And so look at us. We've got every advantage that there is. So what is it that we can't overcome? What is it? What is it that we can't believe God about? God says, I know the plans I have for you. I'll take his plans. I'll take them. And what I think is good and what he thinks is best, they could be different. But I will believe for the highest thing I'm able to believe for as long as I can. And then if I see something better. Yesterday, I took Mom on a ride out to the cemetery, and we always drive by, and I always show her the day stone. Remind her that that's the days. We are the days. You know, a couple days ago when we did it, she couldn't quite pick it out, and I could tell she was a little confused about what that has to do on it. I said, that's where Dad's buried. Well, it just says day. I said, the other side, your name's on there too. Oh, well, that's comforting. We have great, great conversations, you know. And I said, that's where Josiah is buried. And I said, you know, that was, we were coming back from Alaska. Oh, we were. Boy, you just can't keep up with things. I said, yeah, that was in 1989. Oh, you remember the year. Well, yeah, the stone says it. That's helpful. But I know it was the year my son was born and my son died. Oh, well, you know, that's right over the top of her head, perhaps, you know. But it's true. It's true. And so as I was thinking about that, I was looking and I was saying, you know, that just changed a lot of things. It really did. I know God could have got it done anyway, but Shiloh and Rachel are both here after that because Vicki was pretty sure that we weren't having any more after him. And then she was pretty sure we were going to have more after him. But then, you know, so hallelujah, we had a little girl. Praise the Lord, you know. Well, I was looking for the miracle of Josiah living. I mean, we hit 2 out of 3 on that baby. Labor stopped. Then he was born perfect. Everything was great. Then he died. She lived, though. That was real good. Somebody had to keep me in line. But then God just one-upped everything, and here came Rachel. Impossible, but true. You'd be amazed at how encouraged some men are when I tell them that story. After they were sure it was okay. I said, well, yeah, that's true, but let me tell you my story. Don't tell me that. No, 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 no. These things happen. You know, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And anytime we want it, I'll sing of the goodness of God. Because see, that was the biggest message, only God is good, from Jesus. And all the people in the world, if we don't know He's good, then we haven't thought about Him much. And we haven't experienced as much as He has for us. You see, God is an experiential relationship. It's not theory. It's truth. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, then you will know the truth. And that truth will make you free. Anytime we want it, we can be free of our doubts. Anytime we want it, we can be free of our fears. Anytime we call, He answers. Before we answer, He has the answer. He is able. Just His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. Just His presence. His presence changes lives. Changes lives. He changes. It changes how we think about things. It changes everything. You see, we can read His word like it's not a living word, and we can forget things that we don't want to believe, and we can try to claim things that we do want to believe, and we can do all that. But His presence just messes with all of that. That's why the enemy battles so hard against His presence and us getting into His presence. There's a battle. Judy a couple weeks ago said that there was a battle for her in worship, you know, because the enemy doesn't want it to. He doesn't want it to go. When I told you about when I went to Russia, and this one lady was just, she kept battling the same demon. She was just not. I was too lazy. I just prayed and I said, God, you got to take care of this. So I figured it was taken care of. What a shock when she told me it wasn't. I said, well, I'm going to believe God. And that's what we come to. We come to believing God. Just believing God. Anytime you want to, you can. Anytime. God says, any way you want me. Any way you want me. Because you see, He can work with any way and make it all things, but we've just got to want Him. Want Him. More than we want anything else. More than we want anything else. When I got saved, I wanted to sing for the Lord. I didn't want to just sing for the Lord. I wanted to be a famous singer for the Lord. I might have been a little mixed up, but see, I wanted the other, you know, you understand. But then all of a sudden, something came up, and I said, I don't need to sing at all. I won't sing. If it's going to cause people to stumble, I won't sing. And God said, how about if we work with both things? Because one of my dreams was to take the presence and the worship of God to places where other people who worshiped and were in His presence wouldn't go. Am I there or what? First, I came to Highmore. It wasn't real big in Highmore. But now I'm in jails and prisons and all those places where the big timers won't go. And man, oh man, I have a blast. I have a blast. We're all in places where other people don't go. Aren't we? We're in places where other people don't go. And I want God with me. I want God to go before me. I want God to be my rear guard. I want God. And I need to remind myself, I want God. I want God. You know? And the fact that we want God, then we have God. If we have God, then guess what? Peace, joy, righteousness. All that stuff just comes. It comes. It comes. All these things are added to us. Why? Because we want God. I don't want God perfectly, but I'm perfectible. I don't do everything right, but I'll repent. I just want God. I want Him more now than I wanted Him 35 years ago. I'm excited now with a little bit of understanding. Before, I was just excited. And gradually, our faith should be growing. Our enthusiasm should be growing. Our confidence should be growing. Shouldn't it? He's an ever-increasing God. Do we think that we found a comfortable chair? You think you found an uncomfortable chair? Get up and run around. That was Michael when he would sit in front of the stereo and worship. He'd just be sitting there, a little cross-legged sitting there. And then all of a sudden, he would just get up and run. I remember the first time I ran after him. You know, we used to just get a kick out of it. You know, oh, look at him go. Isn't that cute? One time I decided I'm running with him. So we went through the office. We went through the bathroom. We went through the kitchen. And the fact that I was running with him, he'd get more excited. Who's going to run first, you or God? Race him. Race. Run this race to win. Run this race to win. Understanding that anytime you want him. There's a difference in want him and, oh yes, I know God is with me. That ain't good enough for me. I want him. Yeah, he's with me. You know, sometimes when Vicki and I are riding the motorcycle, I like Vicki on the motorcycle with me. It's good. I know I got to keep one hand on the handlebars at all the time and stuff like that. We're riding along and all of a sudden I just reach back and pat her leg. You know, I think she likes it. For some reason, I just feel like I should. She doesn't hit me, so I think she does like it. You know, we have one motorcycle signal. That tells me she doesn't like it. Everything else I think is okay. Well, I don't want God to have to whack me. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I want that. And I'm not so foolish to think that I have all of that. But I'm thankful for what I have. And God's got more. 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 Pray for a gal named Annie. She wants to get out of prison and move to Highmore and grow stronger in the Lord. Because she got out of prison and went back to her hometown, and she's the one that lasted a day and a half and was back in after 23 days. Yeah. And so pray for her. Pray for her. She'll be mighty. Mighty through God. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm so glad that anytime we want you, You're there. You're there before we want you. It's just that wanting you opens the eyes of our understanding, opens the door for so much more than we can comprehend. Thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit lives in us and He gathers in all of that and that He keeps track of all of that, and then at given times He brings it up and we say, yes, I do want that. God gave me that. I do want that. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we will never, ever sit down. We will never, ever stop seeking, rejoicing, being strengthened, encouraged by you so that we might strengthen and encourage others in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.